right. Well, it is time for the Psalms, our Psalm reflection on this Tuesday of Holy Week. And again, we're talking about Holy Week this week. We're going to kind of give an overview of the week, and would love to hear how this week has impacted you, what kinds of things you're going to be praying about or praying for, what kinds of things are on your heart, what are you going to be bringing into these amazing liturgies that we're going to have on Holy Thursday, Good Friday, of course, Easter Vigil. Would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Well, the psalm for today is Psalm 138. Psalm 138. This is in book 5 of the Psalms, and this one was written by David. And this is really a psalm of what's called a Toda psalm, a Toda, or a Thanksgiving psalm, right? And so I chose this psalm because this week is a week of Thanksgiving. You know, in Greek, it's Eucharistein. So the giving of the Eucharist, especially with Holy Thursday coming up. And, you know, of course, no Mass on Good Friday, but you know, we have the Good Friday service. Of course, the liturgy of all liturgies, the Easter Vigil on Saturdays. There's so many things to be thankful for. But most especially, what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. And so Psalm 138, again, I'm using the Revised Grail Psalms compiled by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey and approved for use in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass by the U.S. bishops. Okay, the first verse, it has a very, very short prescript, just says, of David. That simple, of David. But now we jump right into the praise. I thank you, Lord, with all my heart. Right. Let's just look at that first line. I thank you, Lord, all my heart. What are we taught both in the Old Testament and by Christ emphasizing in the New Testament? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And again, the heart is leb in Hebrew. It's not just an organ that pumps blood through the body. Heart is leb is the seat of the will. That is the place where your desire for God resides within you. Right? So I thank you, Lord, with my whole being, with all my heart. You have heard the words of my mouth, because you hear and answer our prayers, Lord. In the presence of the angels, I praise you. I bow down toward your holy temple. In the presence of the angels, I praise you, because the angels are our guardian angels, the messenger angels. In the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the angels are there, you know, and we want to praise and worship him in the midst of, with all the heavenly hosts, with all the heavenly choir. And I bow down toward your temple. Again, when we come into the church, we bow at the altar of the Blessed Sacrament behind. Of course, we genuflect. When the Blessed Sacrament is exposed and adoration, we double genuflect. You know, this idea of honor and worshiping our Lord in his temple. So what does that mean, the temple? Of course, the temple, now it's our churches, right? It's about the physical building. But remember, 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul says our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit that we have within us from God. So the temple is both the place we go to worship, and it's the temple is also within us, right? When we cooperate with the grace that God has given us in the sacraments, when we live our baptismal call to holiness, when we're witnessing to the power of God's love to this world that is hurting and broken and very confused. And that needs that witness. Here we are in the temple showing honor, reverence, glory to God. Not to the culture, not to government, not to politics, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the person I will ever kneel before or bow down toward is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not to any man, to any principality, to anything else, only to Jesus. The psalm continues in the second part of verse 2. I give thanks to your name for your merciful love and your faithfulness. So I give you thanks, Lord, by name. Why? Because it's a personal relationship, intimate, personal, loving, life-giving communion with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the intimacy with our Lord. And so we look how many times we said todas, thank you, thanks. is a continual theme of this particular psalm. For what? What are we thanking for? Merciful love, hesed, there's that word again, the merciful love of God and his faithfulness, right? Mercy and faithfulness have met. Justice and peace have embraced. Remember that scripture, right? A beautiful reference right here in Psalm 138. You have exalted your name over all, right? Because God's name is above every other name, right? We hear in Philippians 2, God's name is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bend in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, and every tongue proclaim to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Verse 3, on that day I called, you answered me. You increase the strength of my soul. God, I love this psalm, man. Like every line, it just draws you deeper into the beauty, into the mystery of our faith.
I mean, what happens when we change our prayer life to just thank him for what's coming? I mean, does that not also expand our faith in the fact that we believe that something better or more peace or anything that takes us out of the situation or the circumstances that we're in, that he's always taking us to bigger and better things just by being thankful.
Well, especially when you don't know what that is. You know, I remember, again, we talked about the Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael in a book of Daniel thrown into the fire. They knew that they were going to be in the fire, but they said, God is going to save us. But if not, because they were completely open to whatever God's will, even though they don't know what that is right now, they trust. Mm. They trust. And that's what we have to have.
Yeah.
We have to have thankfulness and trust. Beautiful, beautiful. And then now he expands this praise to not just us, this personal relationship. Now it expands to all because of our witness. Verse 4, all earth's kings shall thank you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. How are they going to hear the words of the Lord's mouth? From us. We have to be. How is they going to hear? How else are they going to know? This reminds me so beautifully in 2 Samuel 17 with David when he faces Goliath. He goes, I'm going to slay you that all may know that there is a God in Israel. That all may know there is a God in Israel. By my witness, by my example, by the deeds I do in the Lord's name, that's how they're going to know. So how are people supposed to know today in this culture, in this generation, in this time that Jesus Christ is Lord? How are all the kings, all these earthly rulers that are ruling by their own volition, they're ruling by their own their own desires, their own passions and emotions, not rooted in any objective truth. We have to be the ones to witness to them. We have to stand up for religious freedom and for truth, right? Because again, truth is Jesus Christ. Truth is not a philosophy. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord. And then he quote here, how great is the glory of the Lord. See, just like King Nebuchadnezzar. At first, he was condemning God. I'm your God. Then at the end, he goes, there is no God that can save. Like the God of, he called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right? So at the end, he was woke. He was the one that needed to be woken up. Not the three young men. And he was woken up by the power and the witness of those three young men. The Lord, verse 6, the Lord is high. Yet he looks on the lowly, right? He looks on the lowly. Yes, God is reigning in heaven, the highest heaven. But still, he's not so above us, so apart from us, that we cannot see and experience and witness his love and his majesty. And the haughty he knows from afar. Those are arrogant. He also sees them as well. You give me life, though I walk amid affliction. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. That in the affliction that we're in this world of trouble and confusion, the Lord is walking with us. He is with us. He has not abandoned us. He still loves us. He still wants to give life to us. So we should never lose hope, especially focusing on this week, on this Holy Week. Never lose hope. You know, this is a great opportunity to witness to someone who's away from the church this week, to have these liturgies, these beautiful liturgies of this week, draw them in, more deeply and back into the life of the church to reconnect. And that's what religion, right? Ligion is the Greek word for ligament. It means to join, right? So the ligaments are joined to bones, right? Joined by ligaments means to join. Religion means to rejoin, right? So it's an opportunity to bring people back to faith again. And then the psalm continues, with your right hand, you save me. Why your right hand? Your right hand is your oath swearing hand, right? Your right hand is your hand of authority. So with your right hand, you save me. With your strength hand, with your oath swearing hand, you save me. The Lord will accomplish this for me, right? Just like David with Goliath. It is the Lord who saves, not by the sword, not by the spear, because the battle is the Lord's. David understood that God fights with him and for him, and we have to understand the same thing. It is God that will accomplish everything that's great in our life. It is God that will make straight the path, as we heard from Isaiah, making crooked ways straight, rough roads smooth. And finally, O Lord, your merciful love is eternal. God, I love that. Because why? When we're with God in heaven, when we're finally home, our true home in heaven, there is no faith. There's no need for hope. All there is love. And that love is eternal.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.